This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. From State Street and the First Midwest Bank Studio, this is Carmen and Yurko, WMVP Chicago.
Carmen and Yurko.
Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
On ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Thank you to our great producers today, Randy Merkin, Chris Black, our sound man, awesome as always. Tyler Aki, nice job on the Sandberg montage. I think Sylvie should play it once an hour just to piss off Tommy and Meller and Abdallah. It's time for Crosstalk, brought to you by Prop Swap with Waddle and Sylvie. And by the way, I don't know.
Tell him who's boss, Carmen.
I'm going to show him. I'm going to tell him, and I'm going to show him.
Oh, you're going to show him.
I mean, these guys, well, you know, Waddle wasn't in town in 84. Abdallah was like not even born yet. Meller was probably, I don't know what, about four? Meller, how old were you? Meller, I think,
pooping in his diaper.
Yeah, I think he's like 3 years younger than me, give or take, I think. I was seven the summer of 84. It was. So
and you were probably still a Cub fan at that point until you did a cap and flip to the South Side.
I loved that team. I was just talking about it with Jesse. Jesse's older than me. Merck is older than me. They remember, you know, they were in their teens.
Merck's older than dirt.
Well, yeah, he's very old. Sylvie's older too, obviously.
Just kidding. I'm the oldest guy in the building right now.
It's the first team that I can truly remember feeling connected to. I was, you know, the summer, the year before, the Sox made the playoffs, but, you know, my nobody in my family at the time was a Sox fan. Yeah. I was 6 years old that summer. It didn't really resonate. But by the next year,
you were seven.
Sports was an addiction for me.
Yeah.
That was it. That was the first team that I can remember relating to. I can remember watching their games. I can remember all the players. I remember almost everything about that season. And it was a big deal.
I know it was like the Bengals back in the day when Kenny Anderson and Isaac Curtis would hook up. And I think they were 9-7 and they won the division. Then they got bounced in the first round of the postseason.
So you have those feelings?
No one can relate to that, Tom.
I'm joking. I mean,
listen, there was no Twitter back then. You didn't watch every game. There was no baseball package. It was Saturday. It was a big deal.
Okay.
Look at Sylvie. Carmen selling this for us because I'm in with you. It was an emotional moment in my life as well. It was. And here's Carmen.
But again, I know we do this every year at this time. It happened. It was a fantastic thing. But it was a game in the third week of June in a season that didn't equate to any type of championship. I just want to know why it was so moving for Cub fans.
Do you want to smack him around, Sylvie?
You've got it. You got to speak Waddle. I've learned over the years that I can argue with him or I could try to make it more relatable for him.
You got to dumb it down for me.
Yeah. So, like, there were some days in Sharonville, Ohio, where, like, one of his buddy's parents would go out of town.
And they would destroy the house,
yeah. And they would drink beer.
Yeah.
And they,
delinquents.
Look, and Waddle wouldn't meet his future wife at that party.
Nope.
And, you know, nothing really got accomplished that day. But
that year.
He still remembers that monumental party. Like 50 years later,
that's
or 40
right.
years
Phil,
later.
Phil Vogel's parents went out of town. Phil gave me the keys and said, have a few people over. Don't have a party. I had a party, destroyed the house.
This is a friend's house?
My best friend.
Oh, my God.
See?
Got out of control. Well,
remember that.
Well, what happened that day? Did he win a Nobel Peace Prize?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Did Waddle meet Cara that day?
No.
No. He probably didn't even get laid that day.
Yeah, I was going to say,
he got really drunk. He smoked some cigarettes.
Did you score?
And he still talks about that day. Like it was one of the best days of his life.
I was like 16 or 17 years old.
That's the Sandberg game.
Okay. I mean, 16 or 17, I was trying to practice more responsibility than my mom and dad who had a kid at the age of 16.
Like the first time that you got a keg and that you partied, that's what it was like for Carmen at 7, me at 13.
That's right.
That it was like we didn't know what winning was about. We didn't know, like, when you got to be on the Saturday game of the week on NBC, like, you were invited to a party.
I pity you guys.
For my previous
youth you guys had.
They wouldn't invite the Cubs on the National Game of the Week. But now we were good. And now we were good enough to have the game of the week. And now we had the better team than the Cardinals. And now we had the better player in Ryan Sandberg, the MVP. But, you know, you got to speak Waddle on this.
I guess so. Listen, you know how hard it is to haul a case of beer and like a carton of squares back on a 10-speed bike from the 7-Eleven back to your house?
Yeah.
I mean, it ain't easy.
What was going on in Sharonville, Ohio?
And I mean, it's just really, really, like, my youth was not defined by a Reds baseball game at any point, unless it was in a championship season.
Oh, that's not true. Okay, well, unless that's a nice caveat.
Carm, you want 75, 76, this was 90, pretty, what do you want?
For a Cub fan, this was a championship season, trust me. Carmen's right.
That's
it's the first
point,
team.
Jesse! Put your bar a little higher!
Sylvie and I, same thing. We're older, but it was the first team we connected with too, Carm, because all the other teams stunk.
It's exactly right.
I never knew the Cubs could win until 84.
Right. Exactly.
It was just about going to the ballpark and being on WGN and saying, okay, this is cool, but my team sucks.
This is from the guy who you
how low can you set that bar?
You talk about Pete Rose, you know, like he, like
two-time champion, hits king. Carmen, I mean, what, like,
well, so you talk about Pete Rose like he's in the Hall of Fame.
Right, exactly.
That's a bad comp.
You talk about like Pete Rose is one of the greatest hitters, but what is that? What is the level of greatness of the player have to do with what moments in Pete's career meant to you? You know what I'm saying? Like, it sound like Ryan Sandberg was some slap Johnny who
I'm not saying that. This is not a shot at Rhino at all.
This is not a Jerome Walton game.
I'm not yelling at the players. I'm yelling at you Beavers who are celebrating a game in the middle of June in a season where you didn't win anything.
If this were a Jerome Walton game, it'd be different. But it was Ryan Sandberg. He
didn't win anything.
His coming out
division is something.
It was his coming out party. Like Sylvie said, and they that's right, it was.
Hey, Jeff.
And it was off of Jeff, Bruce Sutter, who was Jeff, unhittable
Jeff,
twice.
What was it? Was Sutter in his fifth inning of relief
at that point? That's true. He's like in his third inning.
I mean, and Miller, I don't know. How many times has a Major League Baseball hitter had two dingers in one game?
It never happened again. Never. That's why we celebrate.
Meller dared bring up Sosa in 98. I said, well, he was all juiced up. It's not the same. You know, you can't count
Bruce Sutter had a pus arm. He was pitching in his fifth inning at that time.
That's true.
No one ever homered twice off a Sutter. I go because in relief pitchers don't get to pitch anymore after they give up a home run.
Well, back then they did. Back then, you know, and you still had two home runs off of them.
That this is a holiday for Merck and for Sylvie and for you and for everyone else.
This is my favorite day on the calendar now, just because of this. And by
this is my point, Carm. I would think that this day's the importance in your pecking order of important sports days for you, it would have been diluted significantly by a 2016 World Championship.
No, this is great.
Like your party in Sharonville hasn't been.
Dude, that was every weekend. That was every weekend. Rhino hits two bombs in one game. I had a party Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yeah, and you enjoyed them and you remember them.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's such a silly argument.
Here's what I polled, Carm, going back to your argument in the last segment.
Let's see.
Which Tom Waddle hot take do you agree with most?
There
are three options. Sandberg game overrated, Rocky Four overrated, or touchdowns are overrated.
What do I agree with?
It's going to be 30,000 votes in 10 minutes.
Oh, my God. This is too much. Now, Waddle did have his COVID test.
No, but wait a second.
Oh, we're still on this?
Okay. Sylvie, you're the big Rotten Tomatoes guy, right? Anytime we talk about something, Rotten Tomatoes is good, right? Aren't you the Rotten Tomatoes guy?
Yes or no? Yes. I cite Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay, I think that Rocky IV and Rotten Tomatoes is a big loser, isn't it?
Rocky IV on Rotten Tomatoes, according to 350,000 people who've watched it in the audience, give it a 79% approval rating.
Wow.
Pretty good. by comparison, Grown Ups 2 has a 53% score.
Now, the critic score for Rocky 4 is low, 40. As you'd expect. It's 40%. But the audience score is 8 out of every 10.
Well, that's what I go by the audience. I can't speak for all you numbnuts.
Well. I don't know. Like, the critics are looking for something different than I'm looking for.
Right. I bet if you put in Happy Gilmore, the critic score is going to be pretty low. But the audience score is going to be high. Here, you want me to check your favorite movie of all time? Let's see Tommy Boy's critic score. Okay, I guarantee it's going to be embarrassingly low, but we all know Tommy Boy is one of the all-time great movies.
Classic. It's
classic. Oh, look at this. The critic score is 42.
Oh, that's higher than that.
The audience score, 90.
Both of them, it blows Rocky IV out of the water on both metrics.
But Tommy Boy's awesome.
I know, but it's obviously by the critics, it's more awesome than
Rocky. Blows it out of the water. Rocky IV was 40%. This is 42%.
That's blowing it out of the water, Carm.
Stop it.
2%.
2 percentage points.
Right.
2 out of 40.
Blowing it out of the water.
What is that, 5%?
And Sylvie, you know what? Don't pollute Mason by bringing him into this conversation. First of all, he's a White Sox fan.
Yeah,
okay?
Attaboy, Mason.
Don't lean on your 5-year-old or 6-year-old to fight your fight for you. That's cruel.
The funny part is, it used to be a fight. With Merkin and I used to say, okay, this year for it, we're going to bring in Bob Costas. He called the game. Now this year we'll bring in Ryan, Burke. Okay? And we're going to remember it with Rhino. Okay, now this year, Sutt, we'll bring in Sutt. He was traded for 10 days before that. Okay, now this year, we're going to get Rhino and Bruce Sutter and put them on together and have them remember it. And then, I'm just enough. We just have to talk about partying and drinking.
Yes.
So great.
And that's what June 23rd, 1984 was the first day that we stood outside of Jewel.
Well, you asked me, did you get laid on the Sandberg game day?
We were able to have an adult by us.
I was 7, so I wasn't getting laid that.
Question stands, Carm.
You know who I can't wait to hear from on the Sandberg game? Tom Brenneman.
Oh, yeah. Well, please. All right,
He wasn't with the Cubs, yeah. Really, but Waddle did have a good line. He said, 3/4 of my household wouldn't even alive. Which is
funny.
True. My wife wasn't born for a year later.
That's crazy. Robbing the cradle over there. All right, now, before we go.
Sure she wasn't conceived in celebration of the Sandberg game?
She might have been. You had your COVID test today.
I did.
Did they do the nasal swab?
Yeah, it was like a tickle. I was afraid of it. It was more of a tickle than a pain.
Really?
You should gag.
Sylvie was right. It wasn't bad.
I told you. Overrated.
My 16-year-old daughter was crying in anticipation of it. She had so much anxiety.
I don't even want to.
It's normal for you to tear up at this point.
When do you get your results?
Yeah, when do you get that?
Tomorrow or the next day.
All right.
Something like that.
You think you're good?
I don't know. I'm sitting in Yurko's seat. I'm not sure.
I think you're good.
I think I am, too. I don't feel bad. If I am positive, I feel like I'm an asymptomatic positive.
That means we all have it, then, if you're positive. So.
Well, I tried not to get close to you.
Not too close.
I've been spitting at you right now just because of the Sandberg conversation.
I know.
And by the way, of all of the Cubs, he's arguably one of my favorites.
Well, at
least... So you guys have put me in a corner.
Right. Why do you hate Ryan Sandberg?
Yeah, why do you hate Sandberg?
I don't.
Why do you hate Rhino?
He almost bought my house.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you have against Bob Costas in Saturday baseball?
I don't have anything against Bob Costas in Saturday baseball.
I don't know. Maybe you do. All right. What's up on the show?
Just you goobers over there. Oh, it's the Sandberg game. It's the Sandberg game.
Unbelievable.
I wanted someone who is red-assed to rip baseball, who loves baseball, so we said we'd call Tom Brenneman.
Because Marty wasn't available.
Marty's retired.
Marty wasn't available.
We'll talk to Tom Brenneman at 3. And then we're talking to the medical director of Northwestern Lake Forest Hospital, who's a big sports fan, Jeffrey Copin.
That's where I got my test today.
He's going to give us an update. Nationally, does he believe, as a sports fan, that we can pull this off with all of our sports?
We'll ask him about his feelings on the Sandberg game as well.
Yeah, I would.
Mark it down!
And then would he go to a game?
In
September, Jesse, Carm, if you guys have tickets to a game at Soldier Field.
Hell yeah, you're going to Bears and Bucks.
Jesse's going. Yeah. Jesse said he's
Bears
just going to. Jesse said even on October 8th, he's going to bundle up. Like, that's going to do something. He's going to put on layers, and that's going to keep the
layers
coronavirus.
Masks.
You'd
be layers fine. Of masks.
I think
Bears and
I might go.
Tommy comes to town.
Tommy, Yeah, I might go see Tuomi.
You can't get sick if Tuomi's in the building.
Yeah, I'd probably. Yeah, that's true. He'd probably just fight off the coronavirus anyway. So
coronavirus leaves the building when
you know,
he walks
between
in.
That and, you know, Bruce Arians' badass Kangol hat, you figure the coronavirus has no
Gronk! Chance.
So, yeah, Gronk is in the building. 69. We'll be fine.
Right.
All right, boys.
Jesse, anything new on this? I mean, what's the latest here?
No, we're waiting for the health protocol vote, but I think that'll get through and they'll move forward. There could be some tweaks, you know, twists and turns, but nothing major, I don't believe, is on the horizon. They just got to sign off on
the ineptitude of those two sides is
Yeah, I know. That's why classic. You never say never.
You never know. Jesse, good work. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
Jesse did a great job today. Thank you so much. And make sure you follow him for all the latest at Jesse Rogers ESPN. Yurko is back tomorrow. We'll see everybody then. And Waddle and Sylvie are next.
That was fun stuff. That's fun stuff.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
In the left center field and deep. This is a tie ball game. Whitey Herzog has watched leads of 7-1 and 9-3 evaporate.
Ryne Sandberg with a 4-for-5 day. The 1-2 hitters have been outstanding for the Cubs today. Here comes the man again. What a day he's had, Sandberg.
His last time up, Sandberg homered. In the ninth. He's the tying run at the plate now in the 10th. 1-1 pitch.
Goosebumps. I don't know if I could speak. I got goosebumps all over my body right now.
That's a rash.
It is like a fundamental argument that Waddle and I have, even now more than once a year, because whenever like there's another anniversary, and then of course Mellor's throwing around the Bartman anniversary today, talking about your favorite Cubs anniversary to celebrate. And it's funny, like there are some core arguments that we have. We've worked together so long, we've known each other for so long. And June 23rd, 1984, always is my favorite now. I've turned it from getting angry about it to just having a good time and getting you fired up about it.
It was so meaningful to Carmen that he switched allegiances and he's now he's a White Sox fan.
He was fighting that it was a meaningful day in his life.
He's a White Sox fan. Like, how meaningful can it be to you if you change your allegiance from the Cubs to the Sox?
Thanks, Cubs!
I mean, come on!
Look, we watch all these damn regular season games. We're missing sports. These are all regular season games. If I'm going to watch these games, these regular season games, you better believe that when there's a good comeback and a coming out party, I'm going to remember it for the rest of my life.
Yeah, God bless you. Enjoy.
Why watch? Enjoy. Why watch, Waddle?
I'm with you.
Why even? Do you even like sports?
Nope.
No. See,
absolutely
that's what
not.
I thought.
You keep us bogged down with all these crappy baseball thoughts.
Adam's been ecstatic that we haven't had to talk about sports over the last 3 months.
He finally got his day, right?
Yeah, exactly. The hell?
This is
me. Hey, what's your favorite 80s music? Listen, it's like I said, the sad reality is I love Rhino as a guy. You guys just, you know, shoving the Rhino game down our throats every year is just like.
So what are your
my favorite Cubs?
No, what are your most overrated things in life? Because the Sandberg game and Rocky
Underwear's
Four,
one.
No, you were just raving that you got underwear on Father's
underwear.
Day.
Yeah, I got good underwear.
See, you can't even argue.
Overrated.
Your core overrated things. Like, again, and remember the definition of overrated, that these things are highly rated by others, and you're like, I could take it or leave it. Doesn't mean it's bad.
Listen, this is why I understood the enthusiasm for it prior to winning a World Series. But once you guys won a World Series, I figured that maybe the day would lose a little luster, that it would be diluted just a little bit. It's like, I know you guys had never tasted victory the way that most other baseball fans had, so you had to cling to those moments that didn't result in a championship. I get it. I pity you in some ways. But once you did get, once you get, once you get that, once you finally, once you finally got that title, then I thought like maybe it would, you know, it would be less meaningful. But listen, I'm not going to tell you what moment should be great for you.
You're getting me down. I'm going to go down the rabbit hole again. I mean, you know, Michael Jordan had six damn titles. And when he came back and scored 55 in the Garden, you still remember that game. That was a regular season game in a year that they didn't win a title.
Mister, there's a difference between remembering a game and worshiping a moment.
Well, we celebrate the double nickel at the Garden.
I don't.
We do.
And I'm a Bulls fan.
Look, you know my affinity for Mike Brown. Like, we remember 2001.
The Bears remember.
They had a memorable year. They were 13-3.
We don't celebrate it every year.
It's some of the most memorable finishes that I remember as a Bears fan that, oh, my gosh, not only did they do it one year, one game against the 49ers, they did it the following week against the Browns.
If you say so, I forgot.
Walk-off overtime wins by Mike Brown.
To be honest with
you. Well, that's because your memory sucks.
That's true. But those are memories. Those aren't celebrations. There's a difference.
I don't know.
Guys, can I get a little, you know what? How do you feel in there, fellas?
They hate everything. So it doesn't, they're the wrong guys to bring
that's
in.
That's not true.
They hate everything that's conventional.
That's not true.
Especially Abdallah.
And the Reds rally to stun the Cubs.
That's Waddle with the thumb.
I don't know what you're talking about. My hands are in the air. I'm not touching anything.
Sure. You know, it's... I just think it's remembered a lot more fondly because of the circumstances that existed at the time. Like, it was coincidental that it happened on Saturday baseball, which was a big deal, I guess, based on what you guys have told us
over
the years.
Well, especially when you weren't on Saturday baseball much because you weren't a very good team.
We were good. And that's when it meant something to be on national TV. You know, there wasn't cable. You know, it was you're on the network or you're not.
The one thing is, like, I don't remember, and correct me if I'm wrong, Sylvie, but when did the celebration of the Samberg game become a thing? Because, like, I got to believe, like, as he was playing in 85, 86,
year
87,
after year
88.
Year after year when they didn't go anywhere in the postseason, that's when it became a thing, Jeff.
This is our homecoming. Like, some people have to celebrate their greatest achievement when they're in high school, you know, and because they don't go on to achieve anything more, that when they were prom queen, was the best thing they've ever achieved.
This is called being in the friend zone, Jeff. This is, they are, with the Ryan Sandberg game, it was being in the friend zone.
And then your friend gave you a kiss on the cheek, and so you celebrate it and give yourself
Now you get it.
I thought in 2016
we were in the
back seat
celebrating another Reds World Series championship in Cincinnati. That's all I can tell you.
Take that. Abdallah, what, how are you going to hate now?
Take that.
Well,
take
I
that.
Feel like we celebrate a lot of anniversaries. I mean, we even have a little song that goes along with it when we celebrate anniversaries on the Waddle and Sylvie show. I feel like all anniversaries are like the kids that have the birthdays during the summer compared to this one, where like you celebrate them all on one day, but then there's that one kid who's like really, like the Sandberg birthday's mom is bringing like cupcakes for the class. And, like, just going super extra for this kid.
Right. Like, Johnny's any more important than Timmy and Stevie and Lisa.
And you know, and no one likes that kid.
Right.
No one likes that kid.
Oh, by the way, we have to shut down class right now because Jimmy's got his mom bringing in cupcakes to celebrate his birthday.
Yeah.
All of you other 25 kids, go sit in the corner.
Like, I know Meller was joking around in his poll by putting the Bartman anniversary, but that Bartman thing is so popular. Like, Law & Order made a Bartman episode. Like, everybody knows
they reran,
who Steve
they reran
Bartman
the 30 for 30 the other day.
Everybody
is
knows
there a one day
moment.
At a time episode of the Sandberg game? No, I think not.
Go down this. I bet that if we were in not a pandemic time and you could go on the street and talk to people, you could maybe you can shout it at them from 6 feet away if you want to. But take 10 people, random people on the street, and ask them if they know what today is in Cubs history, and no one will know. No one will know.
It was. I mean, now, how many years ago is, I mean, that's what, 34 years ago?
But that's the point of anniversaries. Yeah. People remember
Did Bruce
things.
Sutter have surgery the following day as well as he was going into his fifth
inning? He retired.
Of relief?
He retired. Yeah. He said no more.
Sandberg ended his career that
said,
day.
No more. Yeah. No more.
It's funny. I just love it now because it's...
Yes, how sweet it is.
All it is just a busting of the chops day now.
Yes, that's why I do enjoy it, actually.
It's actually quite fun. So... right, I pull. If you want to weigh in, 312-332-3776. I mean, we all remember regular season games, but we don't celebrate them. Yeah, we do. I always say the Bears Monday night win against the crappy Cardinals when Devin Hester returned to punt and Peanut and everything and Urlacher. That was Urlacher's best game. It was on Monday Night Football.
But wait. Let's be honest. Had Dennis Green not given the rant, we would not celebrate
sure
it the way
we would.
Do.
Come
no.
on.
No
they
chance.
They were down 20-6 with like six minutes left.
The Dennis Green rant gave it the reason. Yeah, that's the only reason we celebrate it the way we do.
It's like how we would never celebrate the Lee Elia rant without the rant.
Exactly.
That's the other thing, you guys. I don't mind.
I don't take as hard a stance on the Lee Elia thing. That I actually think is funny.
That's the kids, the cool kids.
I think it's funny.
Take a stance on that. 312-332-3776. And I've got a Toyota Twitter poll question up about going forward. So, like, we're done arguing about players versus owners. We're done with that. They're going to play a 60
game. Because they both suck.
They both suck. They both suck. Check the box that they both suck.
Okay.
So will winning a championship suck this year? That's the debate coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Mason Silverman, where were you June 23rd, 1984?
I was with Tom Waddle at the Cubs game and we were high-fiving.
Over Ryan Sandberg, the Ryan Sandberg game? That's right. Uncle Tommy took him to the game back in 84.
Yeah.
He still remembers it.
Who was he in his prior to his reincarnation as Mason?
My wife texted me, too. Very rarely has she complained about the noise coming from the basement while I've been broadcasting from home during these days.
Keep it down there!
She basically did say that. You are so damn loud down there. While we were arguing over
crosstalk. You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
No. Mario in Lamont. Mario, you're on Waddle and Sylvie. What's going on?
Hey, how you guys doing? Sylvie strong. Sylvie strong.
Thank you, Mario.
Hey, I'm the father of two boys as well. I'm also a non-Hodgkin lymphoma survivor. So, Hey, we're all pulling for you. So
that's awesome.
I remember the Sandberg game like it was yesterday. The reason why, I think you guys have alluded to this earlier, I believe that was the first Cubs game that was the day or the game of the week. That might have been the first one. So imagine as a 12-year-old boy in 84, the Cubs are on national television for the first time, and it's the Cubs-Cardinals, big series between two good teams. And then watching that game, you know, at the bottom of the ninth, the Cubs are trailing by one. Sandberg leads off the inning, hits the game-tying homer against Suter. And then they're down by two with two outs in the ninth. We're rolling the credits.
Blah, blah,
and then
blah.
Sandberg does it again, blah, off Suter again.
Blah, blah, blah,
you know, the premier relief pitcher out
tell
the
him,
time.
Mario. Blah, blah, Mario, tell him, too, that while they were rolling the credits, they were also announcing that Willie McGee was the player of the game.
Right. That Willie McGee was the player of the game. Up until Sandberg gets homer. I'm not sure. I don't remember if they made co-players of the game at that time.
I have the tingles.
The big deal was that was the game of the week.
Or the shingles.
Before there was
one cable
or anything else. And the Cubs were on national television. I think that's why, you know, historically speaking.
Well, Mario, welcome to the big leagues. Congrats.
That's exactly true. You're right.
I'm welcoming him to the big leagues. I'm trying to be a friend.
What do you call it?
I'm telling you.
Welcome to the big boy table. You were finally on national television.
It's a big deal. It is still a big deal in Cub lore. It's just along with Kerry Wood's 20 strikeout game on May 6th. It is still a big deal in Cub lore.
Okay.
How about that, doctor?
I'll buy Mario's trip down memory lane. I'm still struggling with Carmen's explanation. It was so meaningful to him as a kid, he became a Sox fan.
Yeah, I'm not using
Thanks,
Carmen.
Cubs!
When I build my case, Carmen will not
okay.
be like a witness that I called to the stand. It was so meaningful to him.
I'm afraid he's
going to
come running in here with a bat.
Who's playing Marcia Clark to your Christopher Darden?
By the way, this portion of the Marquee Network brought to you by my friends at Manscaped.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Did you, by the way,
you know what? You would have personally given the guys a shave downstairs after that ball game, wouldn't you?
Did you see today what the 49ers announced? Darren Revelle pointed it out on Twitter today. Like, you guys look to the 49ers like being on the cutting edge of, like, offenses,
yeah,
the way they call plays.
They have a shave station in the south end zone, right?
They, where you now, can come in and... they announced today that Manscaped there is their official grooming partner of the San Francisco 49ers. Their official manscaping partner.
It's hard to believe they didn't have one before.
You'd think
that
Kyle Shanahan sent one of those devices to his dad, Mike,
yeah,
to celebrate Father's Day?
Yeah, for sure. We have John Lynch,
they call
everybody.
They call it the Shanny out there.
Oh, and you know your guy.
Buffett with a fine Shanny.
You know Jimmy Garoppolo before a big date is definitely using.
There's no doubt.
The Lawnmower 3.0 is the perfect tool for a safe and satisfying Manscaped job.
Yeah.
Get 20% off shipping with the discount code Chicago. We have somebody else who wants to talk.
Brandon's in Rolling Meadows.
Good afternoon, guys.
Wait a second. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brandon.
Oh, no. Don't worry. Tommy, I'm with you. I'm 29 years old, but I'm a diehard Cubs fan. I obviously didn't move through the Ryan Sandberg game, but I just don't care about it, you know? But because I've been a P1 of the Waddle and Sylvie show for so many years, I know what this day means to you guys. So my suggestion would be, because there's so many arguments about, you know, anniversaries and everything, let's just make June 23rd the day where you celebrate those, in my opinion, more insignificant sports anniversaries that mean the most to you. You know, let's
ooh,
say
this
for
is
me.
Good.
Okay, what's yours?
Okay.
What's yours? Give me.
Yeah. So one of mine, I think fondly of the 2014 49ers Bears game when Cutler and Brandon Marshall led the team back from down like 17-0. It didn't mean anything in terms of the season because they sucked like from there after that. But it was like the coolest game for me. So
Levi Stadium, like it was the opening of Levi Stadium.
You were there, right?
I went to that game. Yes, great game, Brandon. Good call.
See that? Brandon. That's a good topic right there. What is like the what is something that you would tell your friends? Oh my gosh, this game was so awesome for me, and they look at you like you have three eyes. Well, Waddle, you don't remember any of this.
I went to the Freezer Bowl.
That's significant.
At Riverfront Stadium, where the
Chargers.
Bengals faced the Chargers
AFC
in the postseason. My brother and I left at halftime because it was 56 below with a wind chill.
Like the key, like I bring up that to me, the most insignificant anniversaries that really don't get remembered by Chicagoans much happened in the 01 Bears season. To me, whatever reason, with Brian Urlacher young in his prime, with that defense, Ted Washington, Keith
Trailer,
they
go 13-3?
Rumbling down the sidelines.
Dick Geron was the coach?
Dick Geron was the coach, and that was what's-his-face wasn't it?
Dick Enberg?
Dick Enberg
Jaguars.
Had the call.
Jaguars, yeah.
It was the Jaguars clinching game. Like, I gave you the Mike Brown games. Like, that call gets it done for me.
Sylvie, wasn't that like a rescheduled game? Because wasn't that 9/11?
It was the 9/11 weekend, yes.
Yeah.
And it was the Tom Coughlin-led Jaguars they were supposed to play early. And it was Keith Trailer picking off that pass, and the Bears clinched the division. Then they got blown out by the Eagles.
No one
cares about that team. No one remembers the
Didn't Jim Miller
Bears.
Get hurt? His shoulder? Yeah. Hugh Douglas dropped him and hurt his shoulder?
Like Jim Miller and Shane Matthews were the two quarterbacks of the team. How insignificant, how much more insignificant does it get than that?
That's a really good point.
So, but those moments, I love.
Yeah.
What about you, Abdallah? What's your most
insignificant moment?
Yeah.
Let's celebrate.
It had to happen at like at a one of these concerts, like what's the Riot Fest?
Let's see. 3 years ago after Lollapalooza, I saw Vampire Weekend at the Metro. And before the encore started, Ezra came out and plugged in his phone into the aux cord, essentially, and played most of the new album. So we were among the few people that got to hear the new album before anybody else did. It was very intimate. It was very good.
Very intimate.
Yeah, it was great.
About that.
I'll remember that forever.
Fantastic.
All right. Tom Brenneman's going to join us at 3, and then we'll get to the current baseball schedule. All that's coming up next.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
Having some fun arguing about regular season games. This is nothing compared to what the players and the owners took us through over the last 4 to 6 weeks or whatever it's
been.
Did
you like your guy Trevor Bauer's tweet from late yesterday?
Well, there were like a million of them. But
I haven't seen it. I think they were the same tweet that was just we just kept sending it over and over to one another.
He's a tweet machine. But the one that you were talking about is everything the players basically left on the table for the right to grieve.
I don't get it.
You like they've passed up a lot of things.
Don't get what their perspective was.
So I think you said it best, Waddle, that Rob Manfred and Tony Clark deserve each other.
Yes. I agree. Listen, think about it. Like if you're one of the rank and file players, what is it, Mellor? 65% of the players make less than $1 million a year.
Yes.
And basically, the agreement that they turned down takes money out of the pockets of 65% of their players. I mean, if your goal was to represent the highest paid players as well as you could, then Tony Clark and the Players Association did a great job. If your goal was to represent everybody and keep the future negotiation in the front of your brain as well, I don't know that he had such a great day.
And like after all of that, whether or not, hey, are the players going to approve this? What's going to happen today? Like it's basically for the layman fan who doesn't give a rat's ass about what the players or owners are getting, you're still going to get the 60-game schedule, it looks like. Do you know what I mean? Like there's
well,
all
what
this
is, what are the players voting on that where they're going to accept the schedule? Okay, if you don't accept the schedule, then you don't get paid, and I would assume you don't get service time, right? Because you violate the contract.
No, I think you still get the service time. That was already agreed upon.
I think that will be grieved.
Well, yeah, that's
because
only
part of that agreement was that it gave the power of the commissioners to implement the season.
Right.
That's part of the agreement.
So
you get service time and that the commissioner could just, if not agreed when reopening the negotiations, the commissioner can just reopen the season.
Right, but if the players decide not to play, do they forfeit the service time?
No, the players are going to play. I mean, the players are just voting on the health protocol now, aren't they? And that this is going to be approved and there's going to be a 60-game schedule.
Well, I don't take anything for granted with these two boobs.
That's true, too. That's what Passan was saying. And I think it was either this morning with Greeny or last night on Van Pelt.
You could have, both sides could have, you could have circumvented it at all.
They took us through 4 or 6 weeks of drama for like nothing.
Right.
For absolutely nothing. Neither side accomplished anything. Nothing.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So, and there's going to be a 60-game baseball schedule. So this is the debate that we've been having, and I polled the question. It's brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealer. Today, tomorrow, Toyota. They're always in your corner. So I don't know if I phrased this right or wrong, and this is what I'm doing. I'm not asking you if your team wins the World Series this year. Are you going to look at it as the same as 05 or 16? You know what I mean? Because the extenuating circumstances that the White Sox won under after winning the race of the marathon in 88 years and them winning it in 05, and then the Cubs finally winning theirs after 108 years, I don't know if you can get a sweeter championship than either of those. I'm not going to the past. I'm just saying, basically, are you going to be rooting as hard this year as you will be in future years for your team to win a World Series? So will a World Series championship in 2020 for your favorite MLB team be as valuable as a title in the future when 162 games are played? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, if the White Sox are in the postseason and it's April 15th and they're in a huge series with another American League team, are you as into it as you would be as if they played 162
games?
Yes,
I am. Totally. Totally into it.
So it is going to be as meaningful to you.
No, it won't. I mean, I will be into it, but it won't be the, like, ultimately the accomplishment will not be as meaningful as championships in the past, but I'll still be in it.
Aren't all trophies created equally? They're just a big piece of metal, according to the commissioner.
Well, I don't subscribe to the commissioner's way of thinking on a lot of things. So,
what will have more? What will be viewed more meaningfully? The team that wins the World Series title this year, assuming they don't have any other ancillary things going on, or the Houston Astros title, where they've been accused of cheating and stealing signs? What's
really
more
good
meaningful?
Question. Really good. Would like, you rather? Would you rather? You would much rather be the team that wins the World Series last year, this year, than the Astros.
Probably so, because there will not be any. It won't be tainted by cheating.
That's a really good arguing point. That if your team does win the World Series, Mallor, that you could say, "Oh yeah, you don't think my World Series is significant? Well, how about what the Astros did in 17 or the Red Sox did in 18?"
Like, it's one of those things where.
Well, that, you know, when two slow people run a race, it's not a very entertaining race. So the point is when you have a 60-game World Series champion and you're comparing it to the Astros, you're basically comparing two things that aren't overly important.
But, I understand, that, look, I understand more than, you know, most people the significance of what a 162-game season gives you as opposed to what a 60-game, because there's the old, you know, small sample size where random things can happen, and over the course of a season, you may not have, you know, a team that can actually realize their potential in a 60-game season. I understand that. But at the same time, as a sports fan, I think back to, people who are playing high school baseball. You don't play every day in and day out. You have a small sample size of games where you need to be better in those games, and actually, in some ways, it's every game is going to be more meaningful because it's going to have a bigger impact. It's a larger percentage of the pie. And so because of that, I can get behind enjoying this season.
Me too. I think we're going to...
Well, who says they're not enjoying the season?
Well, but you keep saying it's not as meaningful.
It won't be to me.
Why? Why won't it be as meaningful?
If the Cincinnati... I mean, I've said it from the beginning. If the Cincinnati Reds win the World Series this year, I'll be standing on my couch, but it will not. You trying to turn me off because I'm speaking against your
play? Oh, you muted him.
Huh?
I meant to mute myself. Sorry.
Yeah.
Reality
but
over here.
But it will not for me. I'm not trying to tell you how to feel. It will not for me be as meaningful as them sweeping the favored Oakland A's
in 1990. Jose
you're
Rio.
You're going in the past, though. But so you're saying you're going to be rooting harder for the Reds in 2021 than you are in 2020.
I'm not changing the way I root.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, but what difference does that mean?
Submit to you, though, that you were younger and in all likelihood, the Reds meant more to you at that age at 1990
than they do. Of my team. I'll be rooting whether they play 10 games or 162 games. I'm rooting for them to the same way. What's the difference?
Like, is the flag going to fly lower at Wrigley if the Cubs win it this year than the 16 flag?
No.
Well, no, that's exactly the point. What is the difference? Ultimately, they're going
to
be playing baseball.
That's to every individual to make that decision in their own household.
Like, I don't think any fan of any team is going to ultimately be disappointed if their team goes on to win the World Series.
Well, who said disappointed? You're taking my perspective and you're turning it into disappointment. There's no disappointment. There's a level of enjoyment that you get from certain things in life. And I'm just telling you that 162-game regular season is more... I will not cheer any less.
How will you know? You've never had a team win a 60-game season and then win the World Series that year.
At this point, all I can do is project.
You know, but so how will you know? Like, I submit to you that in the moment, it's going a World Series title is going to feel the same this year as virtually any other year as it's happening.
Not for me, it won't.
You don't know.
But you may be more thirsty this year for sports, and the World Series may mean more to you this year because you've been thirsting for sports.
Stop it.
Doug N. has a good response on Twitter. He says, the World Series championship in 2020 will be as valuable only for my team. It's not as valuable if another team wins it.
I think it's up to you as an individual. Mellor, if you say to me it's going to be every bit as cool as the last one you won, when did you win, 2006? 05. Good for you. High five you.
Here's a good question for
I thought we were telling each other how to be fans.
Well, it's a good question for Rick Hahn or Theo Epstein. If there are trades to be made, if you're in it this year, Are you going for it as much as you've gone for it in the past? Or are you saying, you know what, this year it's not worth? Or will Theo be like, dude, anytime you can get one, it's special, and it's just as special. Rick Hahn, same thing, was a part of the front office in 05, that he's going to be going for it. And it's a really good poll right now because over close to like 1,300 people have voted. 51.7% say yes, it will be as valuable as a championship going forward. 48% say no, it won't, because they're not playing the same amount of games. So 312-332-3776. We'll ask that to Tom Brenneman, and how pissed is he at baseball? Did they screw up a golden opportunity? Don't miss that coming up in 2 short minutes.